listeners, you're welcome to another episode of The Barman's Barbecue. Here we examine sacred cows. We roast them and serve them as in the hot.
Hello.
Hello.
Mirabella, remember to speak out. Speak out.
Did you watch that stuff?
Speak out. Yeah, of course.
On NTA.
Speak out for the world.
Yes.
To hear.
Yes. Oh
let's
my God, I'm
speak
so old.
Out.
No, I'm not old because I'm.
Speak out.
I've been on the planet for long.
You know, tales by moonlight.
Yes, I say their costumes, the animal costumes are so annoying. I'm like,
Can you relate?
Hi, so welcome to another episode of the podcast.
Yeah, the Barman podcast. I'm Barman or the Bams.
Okay, I'm Rebella Polsha.
Okay.
So I saw something on Facebook today. So I asked you who your favorite villain is. And people mentioned there were two people who were on the highest stairs. Thanos and there was Killmonger. I think I like Killmonger, only that I don't like the violence in which he does his things.
Killmonger is from which?
This thing now, Black Panther.
Black Panther?
Yeah, Black
okay.
Panther's brother.
Oh, okay.
You know, the brother.
Yeah.
Not the brother. Jonah Gaisha, Michael
that's
B.
That's how they
Jordan.
Claim to the throne.
So Thanos. I think Thanos had, his idea was not really bad, though. He had a good something in mind. But why are we even comparing Thanos and Jesus, by the way?
Good question. Right, so when I saw the movie Avengers Infinity Wars, then the Endgame.
Yeah.
Right, it was like an epiphany for me.
How so?
Because Thanos had striking similarities between the presentation of God I grew up with. Right, so Thanos gave his only beloved Gamora, the only person he truly loved.
Yeah.
So that he might obtain the Infinity Stones with which he will save the world.
Okay.
So I'll say, for Thanos so loved the world
that he gave,
that he gave his only begotten daughter, Gamora, that after that he might obtain the soul stone. So when he snaps his fingers,
the rapture
will happen and the true believers will be saved.
Only true believers shall be
raptured. Yeah. So when I saw Infinity Wars, it was like, man, this guy just made rapture happen. He snapped his fingers, half the world died. So, to me, Thanos resembles the evangelical presentation of God I grew up with.
But don't you think that is extreme to say resembles? Because like Thanos didn't individually select the people that were left behind.
So Thanos
was
is better.
Like it was to probability.
So yeah,
like
so,
if you don't remain, or just like your scientifically survival test crap. I don't know, but at least the representation we're giving is like they're selecting his winner. Like, oh yeah. My God, you don't believe, so bye.
Yeah. No, but Thanos is better in the sense that, you know, in the Christian presentation of God, God gets to roost you for the whole of eternity. But
okay.
Thanos makes your death painless. He just snaps a finger and you dissolve. Change phase. Right?
So you're out of existence.
You're out of existence.
It was like you were never there.
You were never there. So, but unlike that, the Christian presentation of God is that if you do not accept Jesus, right, who has borne the wrath of God for your on your behalf, you will get to bear the wrath of God yourself for the whole of eternity. So I was told that the reason why people go to hell is that they reject Jesus.
Mm.
So if you reject Jesus, you get to pay for your sins for the whole of eternity.
This is like the other podcast. Okay, so now let me ask, I've talked about the similarities. So what are the differences? What makes you believe that Thanos is not Jesus, Thanos is not God? Okay, because I know that when people are having conversations, you'd be like, Thanos is not God.
Yeah.
So how is God different?
All right, good.
Thanos? So, like, is God is not doing, he's trying to, I still think it's Cheya for that kind of comparison, but okay, so how is God different from Thanos in this case, in this scenario?
Right. So, whereas Thanos gave his only begotten daughter,
mm-hmm,
as the basis for which he will save the world, in the case of Jesus, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So the Father was not sacrificing his Son. Okay, so let me say it this way, right? So when I saw Avengers Infinity Wars, then I saw Endgame.
Mm.
Right, in Infinity Wars, Thanos sacrificed Gamora, his daughter.
Yeah.
But in Endgame, Black Widow and Hawkeye,
yeah,
they basically fought. They fought.
They laid down their lives.
Yes, for who will basically die. Exactly.
Okay.
So first, Black Widow gave her life so that others may live.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible Hulk, when he got all stones, he snapped his fingers. That basically, he put his life on the line.
Was it Incredible Hulk or was it Iron Man?
Incredible Hulk initially snapped his fingers to bring back all that had died.
Oh.
That's the resurrection. From the dead.
I can't remember this film very well, but okay, so, I'm going to trust you because I really can't remember.
Yeah, so anymore. Incredible Hulk. So that's how they were able to get everybody to fight the battle. Now, someone had to snap his fingers.
Oh, for them to come back.
To get to come back.
Okay, yeah.
So Incredible Hulk snapped his fingers and brought everybody back. Then Iron Man snapped his fingers so that death will die.
Right?
So, because Thanos, the Greek word for death in the Bible is Thanatos. So I feel like Thanos is kind of like the god of death.
Okay.
Right? So, and
so basically, you're saying that the movie
is an allegory of the gospel.
Yeah, but just depends on what part we're picking.
Yes. So the first part, it seems
who is representing God to us, like the Thanos?
Yeah.
For some people, it's Thanos that represents
God.
Yeah.
So for many of us, right? So Thanos, so I feel like it seems like for me, the writers, like they played, so they first gave Thanos like our first view of God. Then the Avengers, we have Black Widow, Incredible Hulk, and Iron Man. Their joint participation and willingness to lay down their lives, right, for others. It's the revelation of the Trinity in redemption, that God was not sacrificing his son to save you, but God was in Christ reconciling you.
But here's the question everybody's going to ask you. Jesus now cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? I know the answer to this, but I can't ever bring it up.
So like, that's very, very important question.
Yes,
you know,
we ask it.
So the other day we were talking to our friend Tumiche, and he pointed out that Jesus never calls his Abba God. You never see Jesus calling his father God.
Well, my mind is on the move. Okay, that's
So he always refers to God as father.
Father.
So at that point, why did he now use God, right? Because of what? He was crying our cry. He had entered our shoes. He had entered our place. He has entered into our sin. He had become sin. His perception of God, rather, he was now seeing God from our point of view. Right, so he was seeing God from our perspective. So when he was saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yeah.
That's our cry. We are the ones that feel that God has forsaken us.
Because he cannot look upon iniquity.
Yeah, we have thought that God doesn't look upon iniquity.
So I want you to tackle two questions. So, because I know you always tell me that it's the beginning of Psalm.
Yeah, 22. Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, my God, is the first line of Psalm 22. And Psalm 22 ends with, it is finished.
So if you're listening to this, just pick up your Bible and read
Psalm 22.
Is it 22 or 44?
22.
Yeah, but I stay for 44. Yeah. So if you're listening to this podcast, go and pick up your Bible and read Psalm 22. You understand what we're saying. Then what is the second question I wanted to ask you? But then, people say, theology says, that why Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? Is because, like you said, he wore the sin and everything,
sin,
and God cannot behold iniquity.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so it's from Habakkuk 1 verse 13.
Should we read the scripture?
I know.
Oh, she just said it.
So Habakkuk 1:13 was like, thou art of a pure eyes, O God, and thou canst look on sin. Then the next line of that same verse was like, but why do you?
Say what now?
Why do you look and do nothing about it?
Mm.
Right? So even then, the second verse we use is Isaiah 59, that, you know, God's hands is not too short that
they
he cannot save, right? But it's your sin that has separated you from God, right? But then if you just can humble yourself and read the whole chapter, right? You now see that what God was going to do about him, but I will send a branch.
Hi.
I will stretch forth my hand, right? I'm not going to be apart from you. right? While you are sinning and killing yourself. Sin is not going to keep me from you. I'm going to come to you, meet you in your sin, and save you.
So what is this cherry picking about? I keep wondering, why do we just pick? Is that why? Why is this disparate? Why is the...
That deserves another podcast on its own, so let's not deviate here. Right? So, and the other thing, right, and this is from Brad Jessek. You know, for more of this, I think you should check out Brad Jessek. He has this YouTube video, The Gospel in Chairs. Right?
Yeah, it's a beautiful one. I love that video.
So, then he pointed out that to think that God cannot look on sin is to deny the divinity of Jesus.
Explain that.
Because of Jesus... was a friend of sinners.
Okay. It's a moment of silence. So that was it. Okay.
Yeah, so because Jesus was a friend of sinners. So to think that God cannot look on sin, then what was Jesus doing with other sinners? Except everyone in Jerusalem, they were all saints. I think not. And all through scripture.
But wait, the owner said, but that is Jesus now, it's not God.
Ah, then Abraham that lied that God was with him. And everybody in scripture, right, they had been sinning.
It's true, and God was still working with them.
In fact, before Cain sinned, God talked to Cain that sin is crouching at your door. Cain still went ahead and killed his brother. God was still the one that put a mark on Cain's.
And that's where your brother,
So it does not make sense.
Maybe God was using one hand to cover his eyes.
Right, so actually, so sin does not change us, sin does not change God, sin changed us, rather, sin is we having a false perception of God. That's what sin is. Right? So the lies you believe about God, that is the root cause of sin. Those faulty ideas about God, that's where sin is. Because of God said, let's make man in our image and our likeness. Right? So when man has a perception of himself, or if man believes a lie about God, man invariably believes a lie about himself. And once man believes a lie about himself, he manifests that sin. Right? As a man thinks in his heart, So his experience is according to what he thinks of himself. So as man began to think about God in a funny way, man started to think that God was keeping the tree of the knowledge of good and evil from him. Right? As if God was holding it for whatever reason. So man has got a false perception of God. And by believing that lie about God, man in turn has believed a lie about himself. So the incarnation of Jesus is to reveal to man the truth of God. And in turn, the truth of man. That's why you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It will make you free, right? Because of Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that they might know him, the only true God, and the Son, Jesus, whom he sent. So, when we don't know God, right? When we don't know God as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, we don't know ourselves. And when we don't know ourselves, our experience can be what? Hell. Our experience can be hell and condemnation. That's why those who don't believe in the Son of God are condemned already. They are already living according to a lie. They are living in torment. They are living in fear. Fear had torment, but perfect love casts out fear. But once you see at the cross, God was not like Thanos. Right? Killing his son. But rather, the loving God was in his son, dying the death at your hands.
That was the next question I wanted to ask. Who killed Jesus?
Yeah, who killed Jesus? I mean, yesterday I was reading a book, or rather an article by C. Baxter Kruger, right?
And they begin, okay.
Yeah, so the title is Bearing Our Shame. It's on this website. And it pointed out there's so many scriptural references, but you will never find a scriptural reference that says that God killed Jesus. Not one.
I need to read
it. Again and again, the Son of Man, Jesus will say that the Son of Man will be handed to the hands of wicked men and they will do as they want.
Yeah.
When Peter was preaching, right, in Acts 2, he said that Jesus whom you crucified. So it's us, it's man that killed God, Jesus. We killed Jesus. You know, Isaiah 53 verse 4 says that, I hope I'm quoting it correctly, but it's like, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken of God.
Is that after the chastisement of peace upon him?
Or is it it's before. Before? Isaiah 53 verse 4. It says that, he said that we esteemed him that... So that scripture was basically saying that we would see what was happening to Jesus and we would say that it was God that was doing it to him.
Isaiah what?
53:4.
Okay, check it. Oh, okay.
Right, so that it clearly, so whenever we attribute God to the murder of Jesus, we are fulfilling that
scripture. So in other words, the moral of the story is that?
Right, so God is not like Thanos. So that Thanos, whose means of solving the world's problem.
Yeah.
Is by one, killing other people, sacrificing other people.
Okay.
Yeah. And using power and omnipotence to exert his rule. But rather, God is like Jesus in the sense that God submits and God dies. It's disappointing to a lot of Christians to have a God that dies. It's so disappointing that we have now had a gospel that, yes, he first died as a lamb, next is coming as a lion. That everybody who did not accept him when he came as a lamb, when he comes as a lion, they will yeshigi, right?
They will what?
They will yeshigi, or that he will come back with thunder to fire them for not accepting him when he first came as a lamb.
Yeah.
Right? So that's, we are fixed on having a God like Thanos. But the disappointing thing, right, is that God is forever the lamb on the throne. The lamb is the lion. The one who died is the one who is omnipotent. Right? So we'd rather that God is like Thanos, who uses force, dominion. He has the infinity godness. So therefore, every knee must bow. But no. God turned that idea. Jesus turned that idea of God on its head when he laid down his life.
That one would say, and I think it's contrary to if you go to that top, because Jesus already said that greater love has no man than to lay down. Yes, and he actually laid it down.
Yeah. So the cross was God revealing God's eternal nature, that God is love. Right? God is love. God basically died for at the hands of the ones whom he loved.
That is right now.
Yeah. So that's what I mean by God is not like Thanos. God is like Jesus. So for more of this, there is a book called A More Christ-like God by Brad Jerzyk. A More Christ-like God. There he explores the concept of the cruciform God and like concept like kenosis. Right, in kenosis we see that it's God emptying himself. That love is defined as other-centered, self-giving, radically forgiving, and co-suffering. So at the cross, we see that God is other-centered. Right? He gave himself for us. Other-centered, self-giving, radically forgiving. That the forgiveness of Jesus at the cross it goes back in time. So before we even came into the scene, we had already been forgiven.
Yeah.
It's not because of we ask for forgiveness that God forgave us.
True.
It's not because of we are Christians that God forgave us. The forgiveness of God is universal. Everyone partakes of God's grace and mercy. Right? So we see that. So at the cross, it's forgiveness. Forgiveness, forgiveness. So before we asked, none of us prayed to make Jesus die.
He laid down his life.
Right, so this now ties back to what we said earlier, and if you've not listened to the previous or the other podcast on why I am and I am not a universalist, right, this is a good time to check that out.
It's on YouTube. Be like, click on the link, but it's on YouTube.
So
with this few point of ours, we have to convince you are not confused. God is not Thanos.
Yeah, God is not like Thanos. God is like Jesus. God does not sacrifice others. God gives himself, and you should not sacrifice others, rather you should lay down your life for your friends. So you see, Nigerian politics answers, right?
No, you're not entering. Yeah. I am enough. No, we close yet. Okay. Thank you. God bless. Remember, all right. Okay, I'm sorry. Bye.
Alright, I hope you enjoyed today's barbecue. For your questions, send a DM on Instagram or Twitter at Dubams, at D-U-B-A-M-S. See you next time. Bye now.